How are you doing? Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Glad to be here with you. I don't know if you were here last weekend and got to hear Jeremy, Aaron. Anybody here? Would you enjoy that? I mean, what a great guy. I'm telling you, he is for where he is from, he is a generational leader for sure. He's one of those where he could have easily taken over a very large church in the southern region where he's from, but instead he heard the Lord, a challenge from the Lord, and he said, I'm going to answer that call, literally like we sang, here I am, Lord, send me. That was his response to being sent into the most dangerous, for what he's doing, most dangerous area of his region in general, in the latitudinal part of the world, but then even more specifically into his country. And so that guy is somebody like you'll rarely see again. And so be praying for him, praying for his family. Literally where he is from, they are pulling anybody who is trying to, it's highly illegal to evangelize and proselytize for Jesus Christ in there. So everything will be taken away from you, all the neighbors who knew about it, that's the risk that he has taken. Could you imagine that being your life? And he does it with such, what? Joy. That guy exudes joy. I mean, he just bleeds joy. I've never talked to him or seen him or been around him. Even when we left his area last time, his youngest son went to some kind of critical heart situation and had to go to the hospital. I mean, we were all praying for him and coming out of that. Even then, he's like, nope, I'm not going to let this steal my joy. I know the Lord has this. I mean, that kind of example that he is for the body of Christ, not only in his area, but the Lord brings him over into our region as well. What's cool is, anybody ever heard of the Circle Maker? Mark Batterson, the book, The Circle Maker? Okay, do y'all know the Bible? Okay, we'll start there. All right, so there's another guy. We're working on something here. Anyway, The Circle Maker, Mark Batterson, pastor in the East Coast. And so anyway, his team had heard about Jeremy and reached out to him and said, hey, we would love to bring teams over to you and for you to lead them and support what you're doing over there. So really, really cool. He reached out and said, hey, can I come and be at your church on the 12th and this past weekend? So honored. I'm definitely honored for that. Well, in light of it, it was perfect because this is when we really start to talk about a lot more about missions and missions month, but it's not only time we talk about missions. Missions is our heart. I started as a missionary, mission pastor, and so missions is what we do. In fact, Jesus left and said, hey, be missional. He gave us the commission, right? He commissioned anyone who follows Jesus to go into all the nations. At least in my Bible, he says for us to go into all the nations, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, anyway, that's our calling. I wanted to, let me just start, because we're talking today about our core value of serving with fun and joy, and this particular message is about serving without losing your smile. Anybody ever served with that? Everybody ever lost your smile while you were serving? You know, hands everywhere. That's why I quit serving. You know, all that kind of stuff. Like, I just quit smiling, so I quit serving. Well, we're going to help you to get back in the game, to answer the commission that Jesus has given you and me when he left. And that doesn't necessarily look like it's always in church. It shouldn't. In fact, your church should be an overflow of your week. So I was having a conversation with a guy who in the back right now. In fact, Sergio took a new job. He goes, man, it's like ministry. They baptized one of his coworkers who was wondering about Jesus and if he was even worthy to be baptized this week. That's serving and Jesus in the marketplace for this example. That's what we're here to do. Marketplace, government, media, the arts, the school, there's a couple other, any place that you frequent, that's where we're here to go and make disciples, and then, of course, abroad. I think, and I've recognized that Jesus starts to, as we steward what Paul says is to this, the, I'm sorry, what Jesus said for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. I think the more you have a heart for what God is doing in a certain area, he begins to grow your heart into outer rings, into the Judeas, the Samarias, and the utmost parts of the world. And so he wants us to start with small beginnings, and even the scripture says, never despise small beginnings. And so how do we do that and not lose our joy? Not lose our joy. Well, it is a discipleship, it's a discipline, and no matter our personality types all meet in the on the Word of God. The Word of God trumps any one of our personality types. Amen? Yes or no? Yes, it does. And so we're here talking about serving without losing your smile. So let me pray real quick. I just feel led to pray. Lord, we just thank you for your Word. Thank you for the example that you set. Thank you for what you want to do today. Lord, we just bind up anything that is counterintuitive and counterproductive for your Word. We command any spirit that is in here that does not belong to be gone in Jesus' name. And we use our spiritual weapons of warfare to tear down anything that tries to raise itself up against the knowledge of God. And Lord, we just release favor and grace upon your people's understanding to know you and to have a knowledge and your knowledge, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about spiritual discipline today. Joy, because joy isn't it's not superficial. It is actually deeply spiritual. Joy is deeply spiritual. I want you to think about that. All throughout Scripture, you will find this concept of joy. Why? Because it is deeply, deeply, deeply spiritual. It is a discipline to begin to discover the art of joy. It is a discipline to be able to put in place the characteristic of a supernatural joy. Joy is deeply spiritual. So when we can serve hard, we have to learn, we can serve hard and still not lose our laughter, our sense of inner excitement, our inner sense of joy for an outcome, or joy for a difference, even though the external looks like one thing, the inside, the internal joy shows us and develops inside of us this strength to be able to persevere and move through any trial. There's deep spirituality and maturity in learning how to create a sense of DNA-type joy, a joy-type DNA inside of us. This is extremely, extremely spiritual. I want to start right there. But we have to know that people who discover how to serve with fun and joy understand that joy is a sign of God's presence. Joy is a sign of God's presence and spiritual maturity. What do you mean? It's a sign, it points to a reality that there is God's presence, or there has been an accompaniment, or a time, or a saturation in God's presence. A joy comes from time spent in God's presence. Psalm 30 and 11 says this, says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." There's something about it, and it wasn't just because he woke up that day. It was because it was spending time. There's time with the Lord. Time with God produces this internal joy. And Scripture says in Proverbs 15:13, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." So what the key then, obviously, is to get to a glad heart. Well, how do I cultivate a glad heart? What gets me to the point where my heart can actually be glad? Discipline gets us to a place where our hearts will become glad. See, our beliefs begin to transform our thoughts and our actions, and so we begin to respond to situations differently. It actually starts with a thought, then a belief, then an action, and then there's transformation, or a habit which leads to transformation. what joy does for it, joy strengthens you. The joy of the Lord is my strength, Nehemiah said. And he had every reason to be downtrodden and beaten and feeling a little bit defeated or deflated. He had a big task to feel. It's a big task, a big role. You have the same role, actually. You know, Nehemiah going back to restore the walls of Jerusalem, to create a sense of protection of the kingdom or a restructuring of the kingdom. Do you know that's just a, amongst many things, it's a spiritual story of the Great Commission? That you have been commissioned to make disciples. That was Nehemiah's commission on a physical level, and you have been given the same commission on a spiritual level. You are here to go back to what belongs to God and restore it, to set up parameters of the kingdom of God, to begin to teach the people, the body, the people there, to learn how to work with a tool in one hand and fight spiritual warfare, be ready to fight should the enemy come along. Do you know that you have a Nehemiah calling on your life? And Nehemiah gives us this example, and he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I never have to be downtrodden in the midst of extending the kingdom of God and fighting spiritual battles, because I understand and I'm cultivating joy because I know these battles are going to come. It's just a byproduct of being a follower of Jesus. And the more I begin to spend time with Jesus, the more I begin to listen to the Holy Spirit, the more I begin to internalize his words, because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, the more I begin to take down any high and lofty thing that tries to raise itself up against the full knowledge of God, the more I bring that under into obedience of Christ. I'm just giving you scriptures. The more my mind and my decisions, the way I see life, my vision begins to align with the heart of God for me, my person, my individual, my family, the overflow, his general will for my life, and then into the specific will for my life. He begins to rewire my hardwiring, my software even, to align me with his perfect will for my life. But it all comes, and it brings joy. Because I understand through the trials that he's ultimately causing it to happen and making the outcome happen on the backside, which he's always leading us through adversity for the sake of blessing. But it has to be his way, according to his will and his word, and not ours. I'm preaching to you today. I'm giving you the principles of life. And joy doesn't mean life isn't hard. It means God is near. It means I understand, I can internalize that God is with me. I have cultivated enough inner knowledge and well-being and sense of his presence to know that no matter what is happening right now, God's presence is near, and that is good news for me. That is good news for my trial. That is good news for my situation. Another thing we have to understand is we see that the closer and the more frequent we become with Jesus, and the inner being inside begins to find and discover this art, this discipline of joy. Because I know he's there, and I know he's going to get me through whatever it is. I know he has a plan, or he wouldn't have led me to it so that I can get through it. Because on the other side is where he has actually journeyed me, called me to go. I have to understand that. But if I take the example of Nehemiah, then I have to understand my strength comes from joy, and it's joy according to his word. Proverbs, joy refreshes me. Proverbs 15:11 says, that's not in my notes. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine. You ever felt bad and then somebody came to visit you or just started getting you laughing and all of a sudden you feel better again? You've never been depressed if you've never had that experience. So let me just tell you, if you've ever been there, and I have been there, and there's just something, or you're going through a bad day, and then somebody, and maybe if it's even a kid, my kids are so good at making me laugh, bringing joy to my day, and it just changes. It gives me enough to grab a hold of a different perspective or a different way of seeing my current situation to give me joy to all of a sudden turn it into medicine. Scripture says that a joyful heart, this is Proverbs 17:22, if you want to write it down, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Anybody ever felt like you have a broken spirit? Man, it's defeating, isn't it? It's defeating. But joy is a spiritual medicine. It heals your perspective. So if I want to encourage you, if you're feeling defeated, even emotionally unwell, depressed, just by faith, put on some funny movies at first. Like, put something up, and you'll notice, man, I'm just so dry. But just stay with it. Eventually, find something that makes you laugh just to use the practice of laughter to lead you back to gladness and to joy so that you can find just enough new perspective in your current situation to grab a hold of. But then rewrite that back to Christ, reroute that back to Christ. You have to fix the situation. Nobody's coming for you. You have to be responsible for it. You. Some of us need joy, not just spiritually. We need it emotionally and even physically. You know that even when you're spiritually, when you become spiritually well, your physical body begins to respond to that. So I need to look. If I have constant physical pain and chronic pain and chronic issues, especially when the doctors can't figure it out. Why? Because they're not spiritual leaders of your life. They can show you symptoms of something, but they can't necessarily figure it out because only Jesus has the diagnosis, has the solution. So some of it, a lot of it, I would say, is even spiritual that needs to have a spiritual cleansing and healing, which will lead to the physical cleansing and healing. Joy does it. Joy changes atmosphere. Joy changes atmospheres. Psalms 100 and then 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So I can't even walk in joy until I start serving him. So I can't wait for joy to start serving the Lord. I get joy from serving the Lord. Well, I'll do it when this. Well, no, you won't do it. You won't have that until you do it. Joy isn't passive. It leads you into the presence of God. And his presence changes everything. We have to find ways and pathways and new methods in the getting into his presence. People feel the difference in a joyful room. And more importantly, in a joyful life. When you bring joy into people's lives, they are attracted to that. They're curious about it. And at first, listen, don't get your feelings hurt. They'll push it away because it's foreign to them because they haven't internally understood how to experience what you have experienced from the Lord. So again, remember, Jesus says they won't hate you. It's me that they hate that's inside of you. So continue to walk in joy. Don't live in reaction to their inability to walk in joy and embrace joy. Continue to deliver joy. This world's a little bit too serious anyway. It needs a little bit more joy. People need to smile a little bit, need to laugh a little bit. And in the midst of that, we can still be responsible, we can still be professional, we can still be structured, we can still be organized, we can still be diligent, we can still be good stewards, but I can do all of those things because I know it's really the Lord and his work that's doing it through me. I can take the pressure off me. John 15:11, here it is. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." And he's talking about his words. When his word is inside of us and his word is reframing how we handle situations, relationships, financial debacles, marriage debacles, children debacles, friendship, whatever it is, business debacles, then when we handle it according to his ways, his kingdom principles, and his word, joy is made full inside of us because we know, Lord, I'm just doing it according to your ways. Now he becomes responsible for the outcome. I'm no longer responsible for the outcome. You know how relieving that is to know that the weight is no longer on you because you've literally chose to humble yourself and courageously do it according to his methods. If you haven't learned, that is the practice of discovering joy in the situation or life situation you're in right now. You will discover it. Did you know what the biggest thief of joy is? Anybody? Comparison. Well, my life doesn't look like theirs. Well, how come he does this with theirs? How come they get this? Or how come she gets to do this? How come? And Peter said this to Jesus. And Peter said, Jesus says, what is it to you if I do this, this, and that for them? What he's saying is, don't worry about what I'm going to do with other people. You worry about what I'm asking you to do. You worry about what I'm doing with your life. You worry about you just following me according to what I am giving to you. And let me handle the rest. Comparison steals joy. People who serve with fun and joy also discover that we don't choose the hard life, but we joyfully embrace it for the kingdom. I'm going to do hard things because my life is no longer about me. The moment I said yes to Jesus, I committed that my life will no longer be about this guy right here. The moment you committed your life to Jesus, you committed, you said that your life will no longer be about you. Now your soul is trying to tell you otherwise. And that's where all your problems exist. Between your spirit decision of following Jesus and becoming born again, because you're born again into a new person, so your soul is saying, no, we're going to keep acting like the old person. 100% of your problems exist right there in that space. 100% of your problems exist through the process of sanctification, which is your soul becoming conforming to the image of Christ, the likeness of Christ, through spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, and God's ways of living and seeing. That only comes from the Word, time with the Word, and time with the one who is the Word. The Christian life will include struggle, but joy can transcend circumstances. This means that my joy inside is not dependent upon what is happening around me. The situations and scenarios that are external is not going to dictate, and it's by choice, it's not going to dictate how I'm going to choose to live and be internally, because I understand that God is always at work and he's always doing something new and he's always wanting to do something inside of me. He's always caring for me and preparing me for something that's greater through the burden of adversity. As I've said, and I said it before, and I say it again, I won't stop saying it, blessing is always protected by adversity. And so I have to choose. Paul gives us plenty of examples, especially in Philippians. He said, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And I'm glad about it. I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. And he continues and he says, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. We'll move on to this next one. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He's talking about being poured out, like he's about to give his life away. He's about to die. He's going to his death. He understands. And he's thankful that is what of all his life got to produce. Not for himself, but for the lives of others. I was talking with a business associate, a guy this week, and he has actually been facing some high blood pressure, some like illness issues, and he goes, man, I don't know what's going on. He says, I've been learning about walking in God's authority, but it feels like every time I get to a new venture or a new scenario where I know God's leading me, this sickness, this dizziness, this thing comes over me. And so I just kind of rattled off, well, here's what walking in biblical authority is. And so I texted him. And he goes, man, he goes, I grabbed your text and I ran it through ChatGPT to see all the supporting scriptures. And there were 44 scriptures that were represented in the one natural blurb about walking in spiritual authority that I gave him. Why? Because it comes from time with the Lord and choosing to apply God's word in my difficult situations rather than listening to my own thoughts, my own heart attitudes, and choosing to apply God's way, trusting his will and his outcome in the midst of any difficult situation. And the more you start to apply God's word in difficult situations, whatever that realm or domain of life is, your body, your mind begins to start to conform, and it starts to agree with, and it starts to attach to not only the benefit of what the outcome is in that scenario, but it attaches itself to God's word, which begins to reroute how you see life, how you think about life, how you take on challenges, how you're willing to endure hard times. And so your thought processes begin to change, all because, as 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, you're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And every high and lofty thing that tries to rise itself up against the knowledge of God, you are taking those thoughts captive. You're saying, my ways, my soul's way of doing things, I am not going to allow it to continue to lead me. I'm going to bring that into captivity of God's word, and I'm going to choose to apply God's word rather than my old ways, maybe my familiar ways, my culture's ways, the way I was raised ways, my decision, the lies of the enemy's ways, my old, whatever it is that's attached to your soul. You are rewiring. This is called sanctification. This is where joy comes from. This is how we serve with fun and joy, because when I have joy, now I can have fun even in the most difficult situations. I choose to, because I'm choosing through the outcome process. I understand when I'm anxious, angry, fearful, anything that aligns with that, my decision-making factors and ability to make wise decisions goes down. Isn't it interesting that that's the case for all of us? But when I'm relaxed and have joy and a sense of peace and rest, all of a sudden my ability to think clearly goes up. Wisdom goes up. Vision goes up. Creativity goes up. That's interesting. No, it's spiritual. And God works his ways through these natural bodies to produce his kingdom outcomes. And knowing that psychologically, knowing that in my mind through creating testimony and going through trial with God, I can trust that he's got the future in his hands, but all he is trying to do with me is conform me to his will and his way. So we count it all joy. He said there was 44 scriptures that were represented in this one blurb that you just gave me and flippantly off the cuff about walking in spiritual authority. You know what 44 is also when it comes to numerology? It's actually a double portion. A double portion of God's authority and walking in his blessing. It also means transition. It's interesting when you start to walk in and you start to see the spiritual matters behind natural things. And I think it's interesting, too, that going into this year, I also said not only is it a year of lordship, but it's a year of transition. And this has been the most difficult year for this church yet, but it's also been the most blessed year of this church yet. Why? Because we are being transitioned by the Lord for the greater things that are yet to come. And, yes, praise the Lord for that. Because you can know that and walk through that with joy, knowing that he has greater things through every adversity. There's always blessing after every adversity. So, as James says, I can count it all joy. This is the definition of what we just talked about. I can count it all joy. Because various trials have to come. The things that you want to run from, hide from, jump ship from, whatever, hide your head in the sand from. No, those are the things that are there to prepare you for the greater things ahead. So don't run from. Run at them instead. Let your running be towards them. People who serve with fun and joy discovered that fun and structure equal sustainable joy and service. I got to have some sense of organization. I need it organic. I need it organized. I want to have fun, but I need structure. I have another staff on another business, and I said, hey, listen, I've let you guys try to figure it out. Well, what you've come to is nobody loves systems until you need it. Nobody loves structure until you're tired of not having structure. Yeah, amen to that, right? All the owners and business leaders and government leaders, all the other, yes, amen to that. But yeah, we hate it until we need it. Well, it's the same with walking in the things of the Lord. We don't like it. We don't like it until we need it. We have to learn how to, how do we do this? We have to learn to choose gratitude daily. We learn to choose gratitude daily. Sorry about that, Jude. Doing a fine job back there, though. We learn to choose gratitude daily. So every day I wake up and I write three things down that I'm grateful for today. And I want to challenge you to start writing three things down every day that you're grateful for. Three things. That 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. See, I'm telling you now how to cultivate gladness. We talked earlier about gladness. How do I get gladness in my heart? Well, I learn to choose to be grateful. I choose gratitude in the midst of any situation. I'm sick, but I don't feel well, but I'm going through hard times, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for X, I'm grateful for Y, I'm grateful for Z, and I'm changing how I deal with situations one gratitude moment and statement at a time. Stay close to Jesus. I have to stay close to Jesus. It's a trick of the enemy to start to get us to isolate away from people, isolate away from Jesus. Oh, I just don't have time. John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain. So that means we need to stay close to his voice and in his word so his joy can remain inside of us. Not just because of that, but so we can experience the fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the fullness of joy, which strengthens us for endurance, for the battles that will be ahead because of the commission of God on your life. You've been called to make disciples. And the enemy, who is the thief of your joy, probably has you comparing your life with another's life. So you just choose, I'm not going to make disciples. Well, you will never be happy and never be walking joy. You'll never be truly able to have gratitude until you start to fulfill the calling of God on your life. And it requires being grateful. It requires cultivating joy. It requires, because you need strength for the commission. You have been commissioned. So when we sing, here I am, Lord, send me, that's a real conversation. It's a real topic that's on God's heart, just waiting for you to pull up to the table and eat from. Don't just feel joy, practice it. I have to practice joy. It's a choice. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God, Paul writes, it's not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. It's joy, the kingdom of God. How do you experience the kingdom of God? Well, living righteous, choosing peace, and choosing joy. Prince of Peace is there. I can do all things with that. I can do all things from that standpoint. So I want you to remember this. Joy is not shallow. It's absolutely supernatural. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come forward right now, because I think there's been a thief of joy for many people's lives. I think people are carrying illness that they don't need to carry. I think people are carrying emotional baggage they don't need to carry. I think people are afraid to come get prayer, and they're missing, because of the trick of the enemy, the very thing they need to overcome for their wellness, for their wholeness. So this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're not walking in 100% joy and you can't stand up and sing, give a praise shout for joy is my strength, then I'm going to encourage you to come forward for prayer this morning. And even if it's like a by faith, I don't know how this is going to work, but I just need a prayer, come forward.